everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Good afternoon, Sunday afternoon to you. It's overcast, getting dark here in San Antonio. I just came out of a movie called Glass by M. Night Shyamalan, or however you pronounce his last name. Oh, the violence, how does it continue on television, in the movies? And I still go see these movies, it's entertainment. I think the ability, the chance to sit down and enjoy a feast for the eyes, if you will, when you see a movie, it just takes you on an adventure. And even though it's violent or can be violent, it's still enjoyable, you know? And I think, generally speaking, movies, everything is getting less violent, if I am not mistaken, because people are realizing that movies are fantasy. And when the movie's over, we're back to reality. So we like these trips into the fantasy land, but when it comes to real violence that affects our life, that is no fun. Case in point, last week I had my car stolen. It was cold, and I was getting ready to go to work. It was about 6:35 Tuesday morning when I went outside to start my car up like I've done many times before and let it warm up. And then I went inside the house, ate my breakfast. It only takes 5 to 10 minutes. Grabbed my stuff, went outside, and looked, and it was gone. I stood there a few minutes just trying to realize what had happened. So I called the sheriff. The sheriff came out. I called the car insurance people. I had to go get a rental car. And then after all that, I go into work. And as I walk up to my desk, I hear my phone is ringing. I put my bag down, and it's my wife on the phone. "We found your car." "Well, all right. You know, it's in the neighborhood, about 3/4 mile from our house." So I said I'd meet my wife and my stepdaughter there. The sheriff was going to be there. So I get there and they're standing around the car and anyway, the car had been locked. So the thief had the key and we had a spare set of keys. So my wife and stepdaughter drove the car home. Actually, it was my wife who drove the car home because my stepdaughter had the other car. We have 3 cars. Which I pay for. And so we got it home and we thought, okay, he has the key. What do we need to do to prevent him from taking it? And I was saying, well, this is a young person because I really thought that, you know, in our neighborhood, young men and women, boys and girls, actually, wait for the school bus between 6 and 8 o'clock. Different buses come. And I thought it was a junior high school student or a high school student who was taken for a joyride, you know. And the thing was, there was a patch of rubber on the pavement leading out from where my car was parked. It went all the way down the road. We followed it later. Around the corner, turned left, and then turn right on another road, and then it ended. That's how my stepdaughter actually found it. And so we looked at taking the battery out. We popped the hood, looked at the battery. It was held in by a bar, you know, with a big bolt right in the middle. And my stepdaughter said, there should be something to grab a hold of the battery and pull it out. There wasn't anything there. So I said, I don't want to do that, you know. But he's got the key. Well, maybe he threw the key away. Anyway, so I parked the car. It had been on the street when it was stolen. I parked it in the driveway on Tuesday night, backed it up. You know, the lights of the house shining down on it. Nothing happened Tuesday night. Nothing Wednesday night. I didn't think that maybe if we parked the car in front of it, that would have stopped it from getting stolen. That's what happened Friday morning. Even my stepdaughter was going outside and checking on it all the time, too. But when I came out to go to work Friday morning at about 6:45, it was gone again. So I called the sheriff's department, and they came out again and filed a report. And by the way, we don't have cameras at our house. Never really needed them, you know. I've been living there for over 8 years. We've got four dogs, and they're good guard dogs, too. There's always somebody in our house. Hardly ever do we leave the house alone. You know, even still, the dogs would be there. So I called the insurance again, had to get another rental car, and I'm sitting in it right now outside the movie theater where I just saw that movie, Glass. And then I was talking with my stepdaughter Friday evening, and I thought I'd go take a look around the neighborhood, see if I could find the car. So I'm driving around. I'd looked earlier in the day, drove all around the neighborhood, didn't see it. And as I was driving around one of the streets in our neighborhood, I got a call from my stepdaughter. She said, the sheriff's here. They found your car. It's been involved in a wreck. So I head back. Just as I get up there, the sheriff was taking off. My stepdaughter gave me a piece of paper with the number and address for the place where they impound vehicles, the city of San Antonio. Well, I went down there on Saturday morning, and I looked at it. The front right end was all smashed up. I don't know if it went into a ditch or hit another car, maybe hit a tree or a telephone pole. But it was pretty badly damaged in the right front. You know, the hood was bent. Fender along the side was bent. The headlight, the bumper, all messed up. I gave a picture of the car and that smashed in front end to my son. He forwarded that to his cousin, Bobby, who works auto mechanics. I think he just graduated from high school. I'm not sure if he's working as an auto mechanic, but he knows a lot about auto mechanics. So he thinks it's going to cost about $4,000 to $5,000 to repair. Now tomorrow, the claims adjuster is going out to take a look at the car and decide whether or not they can repair it or declare it a total loss. Well, I sure hope they declare it a total loss, although I'm not sure if they will. But even if they do repair it, I'm going to get rid of that car and get a new car, because even after they stole it the first time, I think I know who did it too. We have a good suspect, if you will. Even if they repair it, I drove it around before it was stolen the second time, and just wasn't riding the same. You know, it was ruined. One of the wheels was making a noise. A beautiful car that ran so smoothly. 2016 Camry SE. No longer the same. Ruined forever. So anyway, gotta wait until tomorrow and see what happens. In the meantime, my wife doesn't feel safe We're thinking of moving from the neighborhood, get a new house, but I'd have to get a loan to do that, which is feasible. And we need a bigger house anyway, because we have 6 people living in the house. Besides my wife and I, we have her daughter, and we have a grandson and 2 granddaughters, 4 dogs, and 2 cats now, living in a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bathroom house. So we need a bigger house so the children can have their own rooms. That would be good. May God help me. Help us. Anyway, it's been 2 weeks since my last show. My show was entitled God is on the Sun. And the reason I entitled the show that, and I'm going to talk with Doug, CBS Radio, afterwards, about possibly changing the title. But I won't go into that. I will say that God is on the Sun. And when I say that, I mean the following. First, one has to understand. I'm going to take a drink of water. One has to understand that the sun is no ordinary fire, right? It's not like a match. You light a match. It's a different kind of fire. Not only does it light up and heat our entire planet and all the other planets and moons in our solar system, but the energy from the sun rotates the planets on their axes and revolves them around themselves. Now, in each and every human being, if you have a brain and a heart, you'll know this is true. You have a spirit in your body, and that spirit is made of light energy. And a spirit can exist in fire, just like it can burn in the fires of hell, which you know all about in the Bible. So it can exist in any other type of fire. Okay? Logical? Yeah? Any disagreement so far? Well, we have a creator of our soul and spirit. Actually, the creator is 2, a male and a female. In our universe that we live in, it's a universe of males and females. There's no deviating from that. In order to create children, you need a mother and a father. A father and a mother. A father alone cannot create children. A mother alone cannot create children. We are the children of the Creator. And when I say that, you have to understand that in the beginning, when the supreme creator of the universe was both male and female, just like angels are, creates the universe with the Big Bang, put that master plan into effect, creating solar systems and expanding the universe. Also, that plan would include a very small part of him herself put into sentient beings like us on this planet and on other sentient beings in other planets. And so, you and me, my friends, we are gods in the making. Through the process of evolution, we, one day, will be co-creator gods living in the spirit on a sun with our own solar system, creators of our own planets and moons and our own children on those worlds that are capable of sustaining life. And so through that process of evolution, proceed from one life to another through reincarnation. To get eventually to where we are, no creator God. That's what I meant by God is on the Son. Because our Mother God and Father God are there. Heaven is a beautiful place, just like here on earth. In fact, you could compare heaven to a Polaroid picture. Remember those Polaroid cameras? The positive, the final picture, is like heaven. The negative is like earth. Matter that makes up everything here on earth originates from spirit matter, which comes from the spirit world, heaven, the sun. So when our Mother and Father God create, they merge into one spirit. They are two parts of a whole. They can separate and they can also merge together. And with synchronicity of thought and a process of speaking like words, like the words I'm speaking, they can create children, planets, moons, anything. In a sense, they are omnipotent, but not like the omnipotence of the Supreme Creator of the universe. Can you imagine the power it takes to keep not only our solar system, but all the other solar systems in our galaxy, and all the galaxies in the universe, revolving around the center of the universe, held together, everything running like clockwork in perfect synchronicity, perfect in every sense, without fail, without any glitches. Can you imagine the power it takes to do that? That's the power of the Supreme Creator. And we can't be like the Supreme Creator, but let me rephrase that. We can never be the Supreme Creator, but we can be like the Supreme Creator. That's what I meant by when I said, we are gods in the making. And so I'm going to ask Doug afterwards to change my show from God is on the Sun. I've explained to you now my rationale in that regard. So we are gods. We are gods. We are. If you have a brain and a heart, you are a God in the making. Because you had no idea. And you have no idea where you came from. You don't remember when you were born. You don't remember the 9 months you spent in your mother's womb. You don't remember anything before that, but I tell you that you existed before you were born, and you're going to live again when you die, a new life, the afterlife, in the spirit lands. Not everybody goes to the same place. We are sorted by people who we are of the same mind, if you will. And so we live our lives and we hope to graduate from this existence into something better, you know? There are so many other planets in the universe which house sentient beings of a higher evolutionary status, civilizations that are much more advanced than us. Yet, still, I am very proud of the humans on our planet. My fellow human beings, the technology that we have created. The other day when I picked up this new rental car, it's a Nissan Frontier truck, 2019, with just a few miles on it. You know, it's got the new car smell. And as I drove it away, I was thinking, my God, what an amazing vehicle this is. What incredible technology. Got all these fancy features. It's got GPS. It's got separate air conditioning control, you know, for temperatures. Amazing what we've been able to do. Yet, we have only touched the surface, like the tip of the iceberg, in regard to what other civilizations around the universe have done with their technology. Even our most advanced propulsion systems for spaceships can only travel maybe 40,000 miles an hour. There are some civilizations out there that can travel at the speed of light. Indeed, Einstein was right when he said that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, from what I've read and understand. Because in the material universe, there are laws that govern this existence, physics, science, astronomy. When you talk about the material, the physical universe, it behaves in a very organized and straightforward way. Now, when you talk about the parallel universe, wormholes, black holes, interdimensional travel, then you're talking about outside of the material universe. And these sentient beings from other planets in the universe who have existed millions of years, are you listening? Millions of years longer than we have, because we're a relatively new species. You know, in the outward spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and as the universe is expanding outward in a circular motion, we're approximately 15 billion light years from the center of the universe. So think, when the universe was first created, it was God's, the Creator's will that other sentient life would exist besides us, you know, before us. It's like here on Earth. If you trace your family tree backwards, now you might only go back so far before you don't know who existed before them. Personally, I trace my family tree back to 1610 in the London area. My parents were English. But I know, of course, that it continued on well before then. And so it is with each and every one of us, that we could trace our family trees back to the very first people here on Earth. But we don't know who they are, who they were. So compare them, those first people, to where we are today. And as a comparison, think now about civilizations that existed when the universe was first formed, the first solar system. And don't insult God's intelligence by saying God can't do anything. God can't create anything anywhere. If God created this planet, when I say God, I also mean the Supreme Creator. And when I say God, I also mean our mother and father God. There are certain powers that the Supreme Creator put into effect that when you achieve co-creator God status, you can draw on those powers, cosmic forces, to create whatever you want through the use of words, just like it says in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That is how you create. So, in a way, we are all microcosms of the universe. We can either create or destroy with our words. That's why it behooves us to try to think positively and not negatively. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank DBS Radio for the opportunity to put these words out into the atmosphere, and also tape my show and archive it. You can have the same thing too. You can also have your show. If you're passionate about a subject that you're very knowledgeable about, and we all have gifts, God has given each of us a gift. and find your gift. Explore it. Exploit it. Use it. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Always. I was in a speech contest last Tuesday. And I got first place. Well, guess what? There wasn't anyone else who competed with me. I'd like to give you my speech now. It's called the Tall Tale Speech. Because I'm going on now to the next level. Compete there. I'm not sure when, maybe around the 10th of February. But I'm going to use this as practice. And you'll be my audience, okay? You out there? You like me so far? This is a tall tale. And in accordance with the rule book for Toastmasters International, it has to be a story that is completely unbelievable. Kind of absurd. A tall tale is like Paul Bunyan or Johnny Appleseed. I don't even know who Johnny Appleseed is, but that's one example you might know. But we've all heard of Paul Bunyan, right? The giant with the axe and the cow, Bluebell, right? Is that who it was? Yes, we are gods. We are gods in the making. I just had to say that. That'll be the name of my new show. Doug's okay with that. The revolution. We are gods in the making. If you can die, you're a god in the making. If you can die, you're a god in the making. If you can die, you're a god. We are gods. Living on a planet. Rotating on its axis. A ball, a beautiful ball of the world floating in dark, deep space. Revolving around a fiery star, sun. And it is a beautiful world too. Have you seen pictures of the Earth from outer space? So incredibly huge. Beautiful. What a creation. Think of all the life on Earth. Over 30,000 types of fish. 10,000 types of birds. 9,000 types of reptiles. 5,000 types of amphibians and mammals. Hundreds of types of trees. Thousands of types of flowers. Hundreds of types of fruits and vegetables. You think that all happened by accident? Well, I've got news for you, my friends. If it happened by accident here on this world, it can happen by accident elsewhere in the universe. Maybe in a neighboring solar system. But in the Milky Way galaxy, but in the Milky Way, yeah, say that fast. But in the Milky Way galaxy, there, I got it right. You know, sometimes we make mistakes saying things. I sang with our choir today. And we sing beautifully in harmony, you know. And it sounds so good, but then we make a little mistake. But is that the end of the world? No, you just keep on. We're all human. We make mistakes. But we continue to strive for perfection. You know? So, you know me by now. I like to change the subject a lot. I was telling you that I was in a speech contest. And I gave this tall tale. The title of it is Abduction to the Past. So, I'd like to give it to you as practice. Also, I found a good way to practice giving speeches is to walk. As just go for a walk and give your speech as you're walking. That is good practice. walking and talking actually is harder than you might think it is. Seriously. When you got someone to talk with next to you, that's okay. But try doing it by yourself. Besides, people might think you're crazy, but really, who cares what people think most of the time? You know what I mean? So here it is. It's 3 to 5 minutes long. I'm going to time myself. Abduction to the Pass by Blake Ruby. This is practice for the area speech contest coming up. And here it goes. Take a drink of water. It was a cold January night. In 1999, I was living in Cleveland, Ohio. My ex-wife was out of town, and I had the whole house to myself. I was getting ready for bed. I turned the light off in the bedroom and was heading to my bed when all of a sudden, a blue beam of light shone down from up above and focused on me. And I felt gravity take a holiday, and I started going up like a pea through a straw. I sucked up until I found myself in this room, apparently on a spaceship, with three extraterrestrials in front of me. They were seated behind a table, and the one in the middle, and they all looked like E.T. the extraterrestrial, too. You know him, right? He pointed a finger at me, a lit finger at the end, and said, "You, Postmaster, we need you to go on a mission in the past." I won't tell you what that mission is. You'll hear about it in just a minute. And I said, okay, after they had explained what the mission was. The next thing I knew, I had the clothes of an era in our past reminiscent of around 1776 when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, one of those old colonial hats, a red velvet jacket, pants, long socks, and black shoes. And just like that, I was outside this building. I looked around me. Yes, I was back around that time. Buildings were of that era. On the streets, I saw horses and buggies. People walking around with the same clothing I had on, women too, with long dresses. The air was different. So this building I was next to, people were going inside of it. In accordance with what I've been told, I went inside that building also, and I was in a room surrounded by men only. They all had wigs, and I had a wig too. Yes. And over there, I saw George Washington. Oh, my God. The man was on the $1 bill. Should I tell him? No, I don't have time for that. And then over there, Benjamin Franklin. Oh, my God. So my mission was when they were talking about a part of the Declaration of Independence that they were going to vote on, as they were going through all these parts and asking yay or nay, any objections before they wrote that down and agreed upon it. The part where it says that we find these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator, and so on. Well, my mission given to me by the ETs was to make an objection when they said all men are created equal, and instead say, all men and women are created equal. And so, when I said that it should be all men and women are created equal, I said, gentlemen, think about your mothers who bore you in their wombs for 9 months, and what an amazing thing it is for women to have a human being, another human being, grow in their body. Think, men, if you can, just for 2 seconds, what that is like. They are co-creators with God. But not only that, after we're born, they nurture us, they care for us, they give us love. They change our diapers. They feed us. They treat us when we're sick. They help us to grow. They give us guidance, wisdom, and leadership all throughout the years, one year after the other, until we leave home. And how quickly do we forget about what they've done for us, how they shaped and molded us into who we are? And then we get married, and some of us treat women like toys when we should be treating them with respect and honor and love for the goddesses that they are. And as I walked away, having done my mission, what I was supposed to do, I looked back and I said, you might not include this in the Declaration of Independence because you don't really know who I am. I am Blake Ruby, Sir Blake Ruby, from England originally. But just think about it and let that seed of belief and truth grow from here on. I went outside the building, and the next thing I knew, I was back in the spaceship in front of the ETs, and the one in the middle pointed his lit finger at me again and said, good job. Well done. You completed your mission successfully. The next thing I knew, my friends, I was back in my house, in my bedroom. I sat down in my bed with the light off, no more blue light in the room, and I thought to myself, what an adventure I've just been on. And you know what? It was all worth it. It was making the world a better place with more love and respect for women. It was well worth it. So that, my friends, I think I might have gone a little bit over in time. That is my speech, the one I gave last Tuesday and the one I'll give again. I need to work on it a little bit more, polish it up. So thanks for bearing with me. And now, by the way, in case some of you might have just joined in, I'm broadcasting live from outside the Alamo Draft House in Westlake, San Antonio. What an amazing thing it is to have one's own radio show. Thank you, BBS Radio, for all you do for the world, helping to make the world a better place. And I'd like to give my condolences again for what you went through in the recent past with the fires of paradise. But I think we have to say that God is in control. In other words, our Mother and Father God are in control. They can do things to change things. They can change things. Perhaps we all should take to heart that global warming is a reality. Think about the record low temperatures recently in the Northeast. Do you think it's going to get any better? You know, we have a State of the Union coming up on Tuesday night. Let me tell you a little bit about my political beliefs, my friends out there. I think it's not a good thing for either party to be competing with each other like they are. The Republicans get in power, the Democrats are at their backs and their throats. The Democrats get in power, and the Republicans are at their backs and their throats. It's the same story. It's been going on for long time, right? I like Ocasio-Cortez. You've seen her eyes. She's got some beautiful eyes. She's got some good ideas. I agree with her that, and I'm guilty of this myself, even right now, I'm sitting in my, maybe I should turn my truck off. That's it. I think I have to leave it on because there's so many noises out there that are distracting, you know? When you drive your car, do you keep the windows down or keep them up? I think from what I've seen, I would say 95% of the people, maybe more, 97% of the people who drive cars keep their windows up because God knows, you know, how noisy it is out there. And my friends, regardless what anyone says, noise pollution is a very serious reality. Noise pollution affects our psyche, our internal mechanisms, if you will, like our spirit or our astral body inside. Noise affects us. You can say it doesn't bother you, but it's not true. It does. If you were to, say, go to an airport and park your car behind one of these large jet airliners taking off and hear the noise of those engines, you know, it really can damage the ears. And, you know, driving down the road, you hear car engines, the wheels go by, you hear trucks and buses when they apply their brakes make squealing noises, and there's jets flying overhead with the huge noise of their engines, or perhaps an emergency vehicle, police car, ambulance goes by with the sirens blaring. I don't know about you, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, you feel the same way. But it is so aggravating. I understand it has to be that way, you know, because they got to get through traffic, but it hurts. Noise pollution is a reality, and we need to do something about it. It is a very serious problem, my friends. Believe me. So anyway, back to politics. Who are you going to vote for in 2020? Now, some people, they don't care who the person is or the party they usually vote for. They're either a Republican or the Democrat. They don't care. Even if Pee Wee Herman was going to run for president, that was nominated for the Republicans, people would still vote for him, you know, 50 million people or so. Or for the Democrats, if, how about a wild example here? Let's say Ocasio-Cortez. If she was, although she's too young, but if she, or what's a good, Roseanne Barr, there. Let's say she was to run and get the nomination for the Democrats. Because people don't believe in the other party, they don't care who represents them, they'll still vote for them. They don't vote for the person. They should be voting for the person. Right? That is the key, my friends. We need to vote for the person. As far as the Democrats are concerned, they need a superstar. They do. In order to compete with Mr. Trump in 2020, they need a superstar to come out of the woodwork somewhere. Personally, I like Julian Castro. He was the mayor of San Antonio, where I live now. He is one of the most intelligent talkers I've ever heard. An excellent public speaker. Which shouldn't be rocket science, but it is, you know. That's because we don't get enough practice. That's one good thing about Toastmasters. And they should be teaching us when we're young, you know, even kindergarten. Get somebody up in front of the classroom, have them stand there, and just talk. Talk! Talk, I tell you. Talk in front of us. Say something. Just one word. Don't go running back to your seat, covering up your face. You got blood on your face, big disgrace, waving you a banner all over the place. Oh, people are so embarrassed. I mean, yeah, I feel the pressure. You know, I'm a singer myself. I know what it's like to be embarrassed, to lose face, But you know what? Eventually you get over it. It's painful. But you gotta, you just have to believe in yourself and know that you've got a friend in Jesus. You've got a friend in your mother and father God. Jesus, I heard the preacher today at church say that Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. And I consider myself a Christian, but I don't believe in everything about Christianity. Because I think there are some mistakes in the Bible. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, let me rephrase that. I think it's logical to say that there are some mistakes in the Bible, that it's not 100% true. Because when you consider how it was first written by the disciples, by Paul, all these people who have their own perspective, you know how it is when you ask two different people what they saw about a particular situation, they're never going to say the same thing. Similar, yes, but not exactly the same. You know what I mean? And then the translation, and then the interpretations and the rewriting over the years by people in the church who may not have agreed with something, you know, and their infinite wisdom, no offense intended towards them, but they weren't always looking out for the best interests of the people, you know, they were involved in a money-making business, concerned about money and power, right? So, religion, in my opinion, isn't the answer. It's a stepping stone to where you need to be, but spirituality, universal truth, is the answer. What we all should be doing, developing ourselves spiritually. Because when we pass on from this existence to the next, we take with us all the knowledge that we have gained, all the spiritual development we have learned. And so, looking at the night sky, it's getting dark here, and soon the suns will come out. Yes, my friends, not stars, but suns. Every time you look up into the night sky, could you do me a favor, please, and you see what you consider before as stars, think instead that they are suns, just like our sun and solar systems. And now the Kepler Space Telescope is discovering more and more planets all the time. And even though science and astronomy hasn't said so officially, it looks more and more each day like, indeed, what I was saying, star in the sky is really a sun with its own solar system. Welcome to reality, my friends. Know the difference between reality and fantasy. You don't want to live your life in a fantasy. People are dying all the time. And we need to be the gods we are. That'll be the title of my new show. We are gods. Be the god you are. If you can die, you are god. If you have a brain and a heart, you're a god. Have courage. This is the home of the free, the land of the brave. Let's show the world that we can make it a better place. Everyone's looking to us for leadership. Let's not have all this petty fighting going on between Republicans and Democrats. Even the Constitution said we the people are what's more important than the competition between Democrats and Republicans. Agreed? I'm sorry to sound so formal. But, well, I think you should get your own radio show, BBS Radio. I know some of you out there, and I've heard some of the shows, and really, when I got some spare time on my hand, I'm going to tune in again like I have before, listen to these shows on UFOs, angels, astronomy. Just, there are brilliant, wonderful, beautiful people out there. You are gods. Gods in the making. After this life, you will continue to exist. There is an afterlife. I've learned that from other people. I pass it on to you, to pass it on to others. Know that we're in a very special learning environment. We're on a planet, a live, living, cosmic being, a planet. Mother Nature is a real thing. And we've been blessed to have a lot of peace and tranquility, although there have been the occasional wars, right? Not a good thing. Illogical, really, to kill somebody over a difference of opinion or not being able to work out one's differences by talking about it, you know? And I know that a lot of the fighting is because people don't have a lot of money, and some people do. So, indeed, that's where most of the fighting is. I'm not saying that we should have a socialist country here in the United States, you know. I was just in Austria in December, and they're socialist over there. They pay taxes for healthcare and free education. Do we want to do that here in America? I kind of like the idea of free healthcare and education. But paying about 50% of my income to taxes, I don't know if that's such a good idea. But then again, everybody would be covered. It seemed like they were more brotherly and sisterly over there in Austria. Although, you know, human beings are just about the same anywhere you go on this planet, whether it's in Russia, China. You know, we look a little different, but then again, know that there's extraterrestrials out there. Many, many different thousands and thousands of different beings, you know, with different heights of different sizes, different kinds of skin, coarse skin, different color skin, different colored hair, different types of hair, big heads, small heads, different colored eyes, bigger eyes, darker eyes, gray skin, tan skin, blue skin, green hair, orange hair. If you've seen Star Wars, which I don't like that title, but you've seen some of the extraterrestrials in Star Wars or on Star Trek. I think it's a pretty logical thing to assume there are some out there like them. I've heard, actually, from, I can't remember where, but they say that some of the beings portrayed in Star Wars and Star Trek are actually very similar to other sentient beings that are out there in the universe. So we need to wake up. Know that God is on the sun, Mother and Father God. That's why you can't look at it. That's why you don't look at it more, because it's hard to see, right? You look at the sun, you might get blinded. You think it was meant to be that way? Our civilization and our past used to worship the sun. You should worship it too. Not only does it, and I should also, not only does its light and heat keep us alive, but it revolves us around itself and rotates us on its axis, rotates the planet on its axis. Well, my friends, my time is dwindling here. I think I have a minute or so left. I'll bet some people are watching the Super Bowl. I'm not going to watch it this year. I've never missed it. In fact, I can't remember when the last time was that I missed the Super Bowl, but now I don't like watching sports on TV because I don't want to ruin it for other people, but suffice it to say, that's not me anymore. I'm getting older. I've got other interests. I'll be 65 this year, 65 in August. By the way, in case I think on my last show, I don't remember if I said Happy New Year. Not too late, right? Even though it's the 3rd of February, it's still not too late to say Happy New Year. I wish you the best for this year, New Year coming up. May it be prosperous for you. May the creator of the universe bless you, help you, and enlighten you in any way you need it. Remember, please, that you are gods. We are gods in the making. I love you. I don't know how much more time I have. Let's replace the hate, which is maybe just another expression of love, you know. There's only one way. Just like the universe is expanding, you know, and increasing in velocity too. So, my friends, I've just got a few more seconds. As Tiny Tim said in A Christmas Carol, may God bless us, everyone, all God's children on earth. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. I love you. Bye-bye.